Hebrews 11. We'll see where God brings us in and through this. It might be a little different because Seth, thank you. You did a great job in kind of briefly touching on some of the heroes of our faith, which is what Hebrews 11 is all about. And I would encourage us that he did not finish, and I'm not going to go there today. I really feel the Lord is kind of taking me in another direction. But I'd encourage us, as you look from 32, where Seth continued, there's a lot of other names in there that we should be familiar with their story. There's other names in there that we are quite familiar with, but again, read them. Go to the Old Testament. Look at some of these. There's ones in there that says others, no names. What a challenge. It's almost like a trivia question. Who is that? Who lived in dens and caves? And who had their children raised up? Find that. Sit and read it and just watch how God can minister to your heart through that. But we will get to them. I'll take a line from the writer of Hebrews. If time would fail if I try to talk about all of them. So we'll move on a little bit, but maybe we can bring one or two of them back and speak about them and see what God has for us. Tom, thank you for last week's sermon about words and what God says about how our words should be used, how words can affect people, attitudes, even the ones that don't come out of our mouth, that those thoughts are in God's ears also. So again, thank you for that. And I do hope that it will work on us over the time that we still have, each one of us, that maybe our words could be a little bit more pleasing. They might be like apples of gold instead of how they are at sometimes. But today, I want to look at one little section in here, kind of skipping ahead, because I feel if any of you are like the majority of people, some of us right now, we read about these heroes of the faith and we get a little overwhelmed, don't we? Oh, I could never do that. Oh, that's not me. Oh my goodness, I couldn't rise to that stature. Yes, we can. If God chooses to use us, we can rise to that stature. We can exceed that stature. But in the meantime, don't be overwhelmed because you're not living up to what we're reading here. Live up to who we are in Christ Jesus and what he's said to us and what he desires to do with us and through us in whatever time frame it might be. So we're going to look at that. And also remember that none of these heroes was flawless. Every one of them had a human side. I mean, we had murderer in here, we had adulterer in here, we had doubters in here, we had cowards in here. I mean, choose what camp you want to go step into, but realize this is every one of us. Same problems, but God used them mightily. And sometimes we limit God because we feel like God can't use me because of. Well, look at what he did in some of these. We also see that faith didn't take every single person and make them victorious over the situation or the circumstance. Some of them died. A lot of them, more than what we read, passed into the presence of the Lord. Was it a lack of their faith? No. God is God. He's going to use who he will, how he will, when he will, and he'll take care of the rest even. It's not the end of the story if we look at these individuals. We're still reading about them today. So it's going to go on until God's ready. So I don't want us being overwhelmed. I mean, all of us are facing struggles. We're facing the same faltering faith, I feel, that these heroes of our faith. World situation. Is the world situation getting anybody down? I promise not to make this pulpit a political stump, but is anybody getting overwhelmed by what's happening to our world? It's not the same. It's not going to be the same. This morning, I just felt so heavy this morning. I saw the wind farms that they're putting up. They signed a bill that it's okay to kill the bald eagle if it gets hit by a wind farm. Now, there used to be laws that if you picked up an eagle feather, and we've been on the reservation for 35 years, that's a federal offense. But we're doing away with the eagles. The windmills are killing the whales. The dolphins, I mean, our world is starting to go. And to be real honest, I get annoyed. I don't know about you. I wish they brought back the foam brick. Do you remember that? So I can just throw it at the TV. I'm too cheap to buy another one, so I'm not going to throw a real one. But I get so agitated, and then for half the day, I continue to criticize and judge. But the main thing that comes in is, what is this world coming to? What am I going to leave my... I've got great-grandchildren. Most of you know that. What is this world going to be for my great-grandchildren once we leave this earth, if it stays that way? So anyway, those have been thoughts that I've been mulling around for a long time, trying to figure it out what the world is coming to. Get this guy out and get this guy in, and that'll be okay. Please, God has got this. And that's what he's been trying to show me, to just slow down a little bit. Stop stressing yourself out with things that you can't touch, things that you can't even handle. And I watch others, and I've spoken to some this week that my heart was out again because they're losing hope from what they see around themselves. Just losing hope. Like, what hope is there anymore? Well, the hope is in Christ. Amen. The hope is in our Lord and Savior. Amen. That's it. And then he'll do what he's going to do in our lives. So they're giving up, just like these early, you know, remember, these were Jews that turned to Christianity, and they got mocked and persecuted, and they saw what was happening in their society, and they were thinking, well, maybe I should just go back. And I think some of us, if we haven't already slid a little back into our old selves, there's a good possibility that the enemy of our soul will just use that and keep trying to convince us. Just go back. It wasn't any different. Just go back. You'll be okay. You can't do anything here. That's that whisper. And the enemy, his job is not to get us on all of these habitual problems. His job is to get us away from the throne of Jesus Christ. That's all he's caring about. But if he can get you on this, or if he can get you on that, or if he can get you on this habit, that's good enough for him. But the ultimate reality of it is he wants us away from the throne so God isn't talking into our ear, into our heart, and telling us, be still and know that I'm God. I'm not overcoming. How many problems have we got in our lives? I look around here, I know some of your problems. I'll never use them from the pulpit, but how many problems have we got that assail us every single day as we try to just live, just make it through the day? How many of us have those problems? So I want you to think of those that seem insurmountable right now and realize, wait a minute, there is a way out, and that way is through Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ at this point, I beg you, please consider that. Speak to somebody. That's going to be the most important decision that any of us make. If we are in relationship with Christ, then let's start moving, because I feel our time is kind of short. So I'll just share with you what God is showing me. Seth went from 32. Where did you end last week, Seth? 36 maybe? 38. Well, I'm going to pick up on just two verses today, because as I was reading it and trying to find out, all right, Lord, where do we want to go in here? 38, 39, 40, they just kind of stopped me in my tracks. So the Word of God says, 38, remember, of whom the world was not worthy. That's what God thinks about this world, its system, okay, as compared to the thoughts the world has for his children. He feels that this world wasn't even worthy of my children, but he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How much more love has God got for us? So the world wasn't worthy for these early Christians, and maybe some of the things that, you know, you try to show people, they're not worthy of it, but God feels that we still should go out and give them that opportunity, no matter what. If they tell you, be quiet, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. Just go talk to yourself. Don't get disappointed. It happened way back. It's going to happen until we are out of here. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They didn't have a whole lot. this little group that he's talking about. And sometimes we always think that the more we have, the better off we are, that it's great gain. What's that old, where's Ray? What's that old bumper sticker? He who dies with the most toys still dies. You know, what? Taffy, if she was here, there's no U-Haul it behind a hearse. So what are we investing in right now? What are we going to allow this world to do to our hearts and our minds and our thoughts? And I feel, for me at least, and I hope for maybe a few others, this could pull us through for the next whatever we have, days, weeks, months. None of us know when we're going to pass through this life. Verse 39 says, And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. If you feel good about underlining or somehow remember, just underline that. Received not the promise. God having provided or foreseen, you might have in some of your translations, some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect or mature. Remember, we'll never be perfect. There's no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. So in a sense, we can strive to be a little more mature in our Christianity, but we're never going to be perfect. And with that, let's just go to the Lord. Father, two short verses that I pray would impact us today. That you have something beyond what we can see when we look at the things of this world and the way it's going and just like it's falling apart, Lord. Help us to hear what you have for us. Help us today to see those things with our spiritual eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Well, it was interesting because I usually try to start at the very beginning of the chapter, even though we're away, and just get the whole plan in your head again to see what God's doing. And then I started looking, and I thought, well, wait a minute. In verse 11, so you're in chapter 11, verse 11, says, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. All right, so he made this promise. And then I looked at verse 13, and it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Plural, many, the promises. Now, that was the first time I stopped, and I thought, all right, you know better than this, but why am I being brought to promises and now just to promise? Then in 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, so there's promises again. That one got me. And then 33, and I'll stop at that. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. So I started thinking, wait a minute, promises as compared to verse 39 saying the promise. So that made me go on a little thoughtful, God, what are you trying to show us here? So I thought the promises, we can probably all know, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you through the fire, the floods. All of those. God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his own. These are promises, many of them. And these individuals, they received some of them, right? While they were doing this, strength to endure, stopping the mouths, I'll be with you, you know, Shadrach, Meshach. We have all the promises of God. And if somebody's got a little phone or a Google pad in your lap, how many promises are there of God? I looked it up one time. It's phenomenal. How many promises he made to us. But today we're just looking at verse 39. It says the promise. So is this a contradiction? The Bible doesn't have any contradictions. I hope you believe that, because if there's one contradiction, the Bible is now broken. Everything goes together. So I thought, well, is this a contradiction? No. Then God, how come it's just received not the promise? And what I felt was God telling me, because I've provided some better thing for us, these individuals, and right down to today, that they without us should not be made perfect. And I thought, wow, what is God telling me? Well, what he was telling me is, Doug, I have a better plan in my promise for you than you have for yourself. And I don't know what each one of us sitting here today have a plan for our life. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But if the plan goes wrong, then what? If the plan all of a sudden veers, do we think God's not paying attention? God's not listening? And what I really felt God trying to get my heart back to where it should be was, I've got a better plan for you than you have for yourself, Doug. So I thought, well, God, what? I've seen an awful lot in the 43 years that I've been following him, and I've questioned a lot of his plans that hadn't worked in my life the way I wanted them to. But what he did was just kind of brought that be still and know that I'm God. Because without that, we're not hearing anything about his plan or his promise. Remember promises when we were kids? But you promised. How many of us? Well, some of us still have kids. You're going to be hearing it pretty soon. You've heard them. You promised. I want it now, though, but you promised. And that's how we are with God, I think, at times. I want it right now, and I want it this way. Or when we get to make a promise. Remember when you were kids? That was okay, wasn't it? You promised you'd be my best friend? Oh, you bet. Oh, no problem. God never crossed his fingers behind his back when he made a promise. Never. The only thing that God did with his hands behind his back was taking my sin and putting it behind him, casting it as far as the east to the west. So why couldn't I just hang on through whatever you're going through and I'm going through? Why can't I hang on a little bit more? Because God promised. And I don't have to tell him you promised. He knows. He has a plan, and that plan goes to his promise for you and I. And I thought, well, let's have a look at that. Turn to John 14. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. I mean, that's a command. Don't allow it. It's almost like, boom, don't allow that. How many of us have yelled at our children, don't you dare. Don't you ever do that again. Well, God is lovingly saying to us, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You, who? All of us just one? No, everybody's getting a place prepared. Where's that place? We kind of know it, right? Heaven. And I jokingly said, have I told anybody this week I'm going to heaven? And, you know, we say it almost flippantly. We believe it. We love that thought. But that's all the thought that I've been given to heaven on a daily basis. I watch what the Babylonian idiot box promotes to me every morning in the world and where it's going and how we're not going to be able to buy a pickup truck and how you're not going to be able to go on vacation pretty soon because global warming is going to just burn you up if you go to Florida, you know. I forgot about heaven. Didn't forget, but I just don't concentrate. I don't put my heart and everything I have on the fact of him. Remember me, Doug. Forget about what they're saying. And he wouldn't have lied. He said, I'd have told you if that wasn't true. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. When is that going to be? I don't know. For any one of us, it could be today. It could be tonight. I forget I was reading a commentary, and I don't remember his name right now, but every night it was said that he would look out before he'd go in his bed and say, perhaps tonight, Lord, and close the curtains. And when he'd wake up, he'd open them and say, perhaps today, Lord. What a thought. Can you imagine starting that way or ending that way? But he's going to prepare a place for us. He wouldn't lie about that. I'll come and receive you again unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is he? He's in heaven, is what we say, right? He's in heaven, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Well, they started saying, well, we don't. Heaven is a hard thing, in a sense, if we don't concentrate on what God has given to us. We remember, you know, when we were kids, you'd have Daffy Duck, Donald Duck, angel, devil, there'd be a cloud, somebody would be playing a harp. We have all these mysterious thoughts about what heaven can be. We have a glimpse into it, though. We can know what it is, and we can know that it's sure. And I wonder how much of my thoughts do I set on heaven on a daily basis, and what God's plan is for me to be there, how much that should mean to each and every one of us in some way that we'll be together. Now, that might scare us. Oh, my gosh, I spent 50 years with those guys, and now I'm going to be with them for eternity. We won't think that way anymore. But God's plan and God's promise, we have to think more so that we can't have it robbed from us by the enemy of our soul. If he could get us to stop thinking about heaven and what God has prepared for us and what it's going to be like, you take your situation and then stick in the fact that God's got me going to heaven. What will that do on a daily basis? When I get all bummed out, and I mean, I almost lost it on a song, I'm going to be with my daughter. Wow. My brother, my mother, I can name the list. We're going to be with those people. Without Christ, that's not possible. Then all we got is what we watch on the idiot box every day and what's going on out there, and we will be men and women most miserable. So he's telling me right off the bat, you're going to be up here in heaven. So if I die right now, I go to heaven. But there's more to the story as, what's his name? Now for the rest of the story. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So I looked at that and I thought, well, is that another contradiction? No, it's not. He's, you know, heaven is a hard thing to try to comprehend, but God has given us a little thumbnail sketch, if you would, of what his heaven is going to be like for you and I. Another plan, another purpose. God planned this heaven. He's making mansions for each and every one of us, whatever the, I always used to say, I'll be happy with a pup tent. Just give me a little pup tent in the back. I don't deserve any mansion. But he's preparing something much better for each one of us because he has a better plan for you and I than we have for ourselves. So as we look at that, don't let that, well, I can't tell you what heaven's like. The Bible's filled with little sniglets, if you would, of what heaven is going to be like. Philippians 3:20. And there's that old statement that, you know, you're so earthly minded, you know, heavenly good. It means we're just, all we think about is the earth. What I got right now. How am I going to get what I want? What am I going to do with this? Oh, my car is falling apart. My house is falling apart. My finances are falling apart. My health is falling apart. I mean, we've got all of these thoughts. And I think they obstruct our view of heaven. And here Paul is saying in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation. And that word conversation in the Greek is not just our speech. It's not just how we talk when other Christians are around or other people are around. Our conversation, the word means our lifestyle, my character, who I am. Not just these words, which, again, Tom, thank you. They're so important. With these words, we can build up. With words, we can cut down. But our conversation, your lifestyle, my lifestyle, is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we? Let's, you know, just be honest with yourself. No show of hands or anything. Is that my life? Am I thinking about heaven? Every time something gets me down, every time my heart breaks because a loved one isn't around, do I continue in that and do like I do, go out to the barn and sling hay around, throw rocks? I used to chop wood, but I got a gas stove now. What a blessing. What do we do? Where's my conversation? What's my life looking at? This earth or the heaven that God is telling me that's my plan for you I didn't leave you here to endure what you're going through. I've got a plan. And not only do I have a plan, I had a plan, but I ran out of money. God made a promise, and God is not a man that he should lie. God's promise is yea and amen. It's gonna happen. And it might happen sooner than some of us like to believe. So what we just talked about, though, is the temporal heaven. It's a temporal heaven. Where's God? If you ask even a child, in heaven. Where, if I pass away today, where will I go? I'll go to heaven. But it's a temporal heaven. It's the dwelling place right now where God and Jesus and those who have passed are. But there's even more in the plan than I don't think about every day. And I just hope that you'll look at it too this week. So turn to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, and I'll just look at a few verses. And I think it should be. There it is. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But wait a minute. There's heaven. You're already up there. And he's saying, no, that's a temporal part. That's where we are right now till he's finished with all of his work, till that last individual accepts Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and Savior. Then he's got a whole nother plan. There's a tribulation period coming in. There's a millennial kingdom coming in. There's a lot of things that are coming in, but I want us to key in and start thinking about this is God's plan. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. The former one is going to pass away. So this terra firma, the stuff that we're on right now, he's got a plan for that too. And if we read in Peter, which with time I'll try to back up a little bit because I'd like to finish if I could. This world, this is going to burn with a fervent heat. It's going to melt. It's going to be gone. Well, then what? Then what do we do? Let's keep looking. 2 Corinthians 5. One through five. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal, eternal in the heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, aren't we all? Not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that had wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of his spirit. There's that promise. This is an eternal heaven, our bodies, glorified bodies, in a place that we just heard, a new heaven and a new earth. It's not going to be anything like what I normally think about or what this world kind of shows you about heaven. But I need to remember what his plan and his promise for me is. 2 Peter, seeing that all these things, and you read Peter about the world, it's going to burn. Everything's going. There's going to be something else, and we know now that that's a new heaven and a new earth. Seeing that all these things be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions, in my outlook to what is this world? Remember, and I said, what's this world coming to? Where's this all going to wind up? It's going to wind up in this new heaven. It's going to wind up in this new earth. It's going to wind up in eternity with the one who loves us more than we realize. What a promise. What a plan. How does that match up to your plan or my plan? And I'd ask, you know, give God that thought this week. Which one? So that was 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. I didn't do 10. I guess I went right to 11, didn't I? Let's do that one. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Huh? Wow. I need to give that some thought. Why am I so worked up that if they just listen to what I think, this world could be a better place? If they just do what is so obvious, things would work out better for everybody. Well, they are working out, I feel, the way that God's got them planned. He's a just God. He's not just going to all of a sudden snap his fingers and boom, it's all over. And here's for those of us who have already entered in. He's got others in his heart that he wants to see in heaven. And unfortunately, the things of this world, some of them that are so terrible, God can use them. He didn't do them, but he can use them to bring us closer to him, to question what's going on. Where's the world going? And then I feel God can show us, you want to see where it's going? Oh, Revelation 21, this will be my last one, and we'll go to the table. Revelation 21. So what's it going to be like? Remember, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nobody knows, it hasn't entered into us, what God is preparing for us. And this is just, again, this is a touch because of time, but it says in 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Remember those words, a new one. He wasn't looking at where he was standing. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. See, so one time, we all think, oh, we're going to die or whatever it is, and we're going to go up and be with God. Well, wait a minute. What's going to happen is God is coming down to be with us. He already did it as a man, the incarnation. God became man, came down temporally just to show us who he was. And now what's going to happen is he's going to bring everything down to us to be with us, that will be with him, instead of us having to go there. What a gentleman. I mean, this is a plan. This is his promise that goes beyond what I could think. Why would he even think of us? What is man that you're even mindful? I can't point at anybody. Maybe I can, Craig. And me. And Ames. And Jim, and Rick, why would God love guys like us? Why would he love us? Ever think about it? Why does he love us? And why did he take that love over all these years, and he's been making a place, he's been putting things together, he's got this plan that he can't fully reveal to us yet, because we don't know what all the streets of gold that are transparent, gates with pearls on there, loved ones walking around, talking, sharing, beauty beyond anything. Our minds can't even grasp that. But he saw this new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I don't know about, you know, some of us, remember that day, when you look down in the back when nobody was allowed to see, and white dresses and all that, you remember what that feeling was. And if you never had that, do you remember the day that you just looked at the person that you knew, that you knew, that you knew, this is who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? Prepared like a bride for a husband. That's how God looks at us. I'm going to spend eternity with you. And you don't even know what I have planned yet. I used to tell Pat, stick with me, kid, you'd be wearing diamonds, but that didn't happen yet. So, but God's got a better plan, and he's promised it to each and every one of us. And I heard a great voice out of heaven 3 saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God, verse 4, will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Doug didn't make them up. I didn't put this together for a sermon. This is what God is saying to Doug, that Doug, I got a plan for you. And I've promised that plan. It's not like you're going to miss it. It's not like I'm going to run out of stuff. I've made my promise, and that plan is going to come to fruition. I started thinking God didn't save us, you know, to meet our every whim, you and I, or give us an easy life or a life that doesn't have hard situations and circumstances. He saved us to prepare us for eternity. That's what we just heard just now. He saved us. Well, why'd God save me? You know, and then we think we're going to go knock on doors or I'm going to be a great missionary. He saved us to prepare every one of us, no matter what we're doing, for an eternal life with him on a new earth. I mean, this is a, you know, in cosmology, this is some kind of dimensional thing that is way beyond my knowledge. But God is going to be in this New Jerusalem. We're going to have access like we couldn't believe to things, but the only way you'll really get to go on those is read them up for yourself, I guess. So set your affections, is what the word says, on heavenly things, not on this earth. That's faith. And it takes more faith, I realized this week, to endure than to escape. I want out. I want out bad, you know. And that's not just this world. I want out of this world. I want to be with my baby. I want to be with all. You know, I can just go down the row, everybody that's lost people. I want to be with them again. But there's times that I just want to be out of the circumstance. It has nothing to do with my thought of heaven. I just want the frustration to be gone. I want the pain to be gone. I want the finances to be over. I want the neighbor to shut up. You know, stop that dog from barking. I mean, we have all these things. It takes more faith in my life to endure what God has given to each and every one of us than to just escape it. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for this new heaven, Father. Thank you for a place of eternal dwelling that we can't even begin to imagine or appreciate what you've put together. As Keith Green used to say, it took him 6 days to make what we live in now. He's preparing heaven for 2,000 years. Man, we're living in a garbage can, is what he said. And it's still beautiful, Lord. But what you've got prepared, what you've planned, and what you promised is beyond our imagination. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to go to the table. I've said it.